Lecture topic, Shabby Barat, part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا إلى رمضان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, you and I have taken the trouble and have gathered and assembled on this momentous occasion, understanding and acknowledging the excellence and the significance that Allah Rabbul Izzat has attached with this night. That is why we have gathered here. Perhaps if we could commence our talk on this particular principle and say this is the message that I'm going to leave with today, that just as today I have delayed all my other engagements in honoring the significance of this night, Allah has attached value with this night, Allah has attached significance with this night, in compliance and in acknowledgement to that spirit, I have gathered here, I perhaps closed my shop earlier and I have come here. If we can generalize that principle and we can apply it in every facet of our life, that from today onwards, inshallah, I will make important and significant in my life those aspects which Allah has made important and significant, and I can trivialize and make insignificant and unimportant in my life what Allah has made unimportant, then apart from it earning Jannat, wallah, we will see pleasure in our worldly life also. Unfortunately, if we have to analyze how much importance we have attached with certain aspects which Allah has not only not attached importance, but on many instances, Allah has made it forbidden. Just for us to get a glimpse and an understanding of those aspects with which Allah has attached great significance and great importance. Just as the Isha Salah for which we have gathered today was farz and compulsory, wallah, the Isha of yesterday and the Isha of tomorrow is equally important. So if we can extract this one particular principle, recently there was a wonderful incident that happened, which perhaps I can mention with which we can commence. One doctor came to me, who was recently changing his life, and he says, Maulana, I have decided that now onwards, inshallah, I'm going to perform my salah, and I want to give salah its due importance that Allah has afforded it. And I decided in my own life, that if perchance one day I happen to miss one Fajr Salah of mine, then as a disciplinary measure, I will go that day to my practice and I will stand in my surgery, and the income of that day I'm going to give it in charity as an atonement for me missing my Fajr with Jamaat. Wallah, when this doctor came, which is a challenge to the professional people in this gathering, I started crying and I said, Ya Allah, are there such people in this ummah still? Maulana Muhammad Yusuf rahimahumullah one day had to address some professional people. So the person started introducing and he said, this is a lawyer, this is a professional person, this man has this expertise. And gradually as he was introducing, Maulana then paused. and said, "Brother, tell him, since when has the title of a kafir become the introduction of a believer? There was a time in the history of Islam that a Muslim was introduced by his contribution to deen. O Nabi of Allah, this man participated in Badr. O Nabi of Allah, this man has lost so many children. In fact, relevant to tonight's occasion, one of the many people that we know are deprived of Allah's forgiveness is that person who harbors malice and ill feelings in his heart for his next Muslim brother. There's an incident in Bukhari Sharif which will give us an understanding of how vast the tolerance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when it came to forgiving and overlooking. And that is what we need to understand. Sometimes a person does us wrong and we refer to that wrong by saying, but this is an unpardonable crime. Let us look at what was the wrong done to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the conquest of Makkah, 2 odd years after which the kuffar had proven to be treacherous in violating their peace treaty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to launch an attack on Makkah, but he made elaborate preparations in a subtle way so that the kuffar of Makkah are not informed, so that they cannot make counter preparations. While elaborate preparations were being made, one sahabi by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu also heard about the fact that Nabi alayhi salam was making preparations. He thought to himself that I have relatives in Makkah, the other sahaba have people that will defend. My wife and my children are in Makkah. I don't think it's right for me not to inform them. He called one woman and he wrote a note to her. This riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif, the 2nd volume on the 5th page. Under this particular heading, Babu Fadli Man Shahida Badran. And it also appears in Abu Dawood, 2nd volume, the 1st page. He addressed the letter and he sent it with this woman to the people of Makkah. This is to inform you that the Nabi of Allah has intended to invade Makkah. And I'm informing you so that you can make necessary arrangements to safeguard yourself. This woman took it and she put it in one of the plaits of her hair and she embarked on her journey. Jibreel Amin descended and came and told Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, one of your companions have betrayed you and they intend revealing and unveiling and exposing your secrets. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Miqdad ibn Aswad and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam said, come, mount onto your horses and gallop as fast as you can, hatta ta'tu rawdata khakhin. And then you come to this one particular place, there is a woman there, tell her you want the note that she has. These sahabi mounted onto their horses, they galloped it as fast as they could. They came to that particular location, precise location that the Nabi of Allah had given. They came there, they told this woman that we have been sent by the Nabi of Allah. You have some intimate information, some secrets of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we insist that you give us that particular note. The woman declined, she refused, and she says, I have absolutely nothing. The sahaba said, the Nabi of Allah can never speak a lie, take it out. فَأَخْرَجَتْهُ مِنْ عِقَاسِهَا. She opened up her plaits, and she took out that particular note. The note read, this is from Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a to the people of Makkah. The Nabi of Allah intends invade in Makkah, make preparations to protect yourself. Immediately this letter was taken, this woman was intercepted, and both were returned to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu was brought in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand the plan of Nabi alayhi salam. This is the secret. One particular sahabi became emotional because of his family ties, and he divulged the secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salam says, okay, call him forward. The sahabi was brought forward. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu becomes emotional. Da'ni adrib unuqa hadha al-munafiq. O Nabi of Allah, why don't I behead this hypocrite year and year? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, wait, O Umar. The sahabi came forward. La ta'jal alayya ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, don't be hasty. Give me a chance to explain. Let me explain my position. Wallahi ma kafartu walartadattu. Allah's qasam, neither has disbelief entered into my heart, neither have I become renegade. I love you just as I loved you before. I was overpowered by emotions and sentiments for my relation and my family. Your other Sahaba have people to defend them. I have my wife and my children that stand there defenseless. Oh, Nabi of Allah, I love you and I love your deen. My emotions overpowered me. Nabi alayhi salam said, this man has spoken the truth. I have pardoned him. No one has the rights of insulting him. Then when Sayyidina Umar said, oh Nabi of Allah, let me behead him. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اَعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Oh Umar, don't you know he participated in Badr? And my Allah told me regarding the participants of Badr. In fact, there's a riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, second volume, that Jibreel Amin descends to Nabi alayhi salam, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَهْلَ بَدْرٍ. How do you view the participants of Badr? Nabi alayhi salam says, the participants of Badr are more senior than the remaining Sahaba. Jibreel says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Just as the participants of Badr senior the other Sahaba, likewise those Malaika who descended to aid the participants of Badr are more senior than the remaining Malaika. Oh Umar, he participated in Badr, and because of his participation, Allah has pardoned him. Friends and elders, we have gathered here on this occasion. Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatum writes that the night of Bara'at is a boon and a favor from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for this transgressing servant, sinful servant, to prepare before the month of Ramadan dawns upon him. Wallahi, if the heart is desirous, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is standing in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person comes and stands next to him and immediately exclaims the kalima loudly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bring iman on the oneness of Allah and I bring iman on the finality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, after completing his salah, looked at this man and he says, he was a stranger, he was a non-Arab. What happened to you that suddenly you came and you accepted Islam? He says, no, today I seen one prisoner reciting one verse of the Quran. Wallahi, I have studied all the divine scriptures, but I heard one verse from the tongue of one prisoner, which is so concise and so voluminous that in my opinion, it contains the knowledge of all the divine scriptures. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, what is it? Tell me. Wallahi, when there was sincere desire in the heart of Sahaba, Allah inspired them independently. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with his Sahaba. One Sahabi was very sick. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu was present there. He went by that man without asking the Nabi of Allah anything. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes this in the concluding verses of Surah Mu'min. He went in that sick man's ear and he whispered certain ayat. Allah cured that man instantly. Nabi alayhi salam called him and said, Abdullah, tell me, what dua have you read? Nabi alayhi salam asking Abdullah ibn Masud, Abdullah, what is this dua that you read? Said, O Nabi of Allah, I selected these verses. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. The concluding verses of Surah Mu'min. Nabi alayhi salam congratulated him and he said, Wallah, Allah has inspired you with such ayat. Sayyidina Umar asked this man, what is this ayat that you have heard? Tell me also. He says, I heard this prisoner reading, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. One ayat in the last ruku, or in the last quarter of the 18th juz of the Quran. He says, Wallah, in my understanding, this ayat is so voluminous that it contains within itself all the divine scriptures. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, elaborate, how do you understand this ayat? He says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ, he who obeys Allah. This refers to all those things which are compulsory and obligatory and mandatory. وَرَسُولَهُ, the one who obeys Allah's Rasul, it refers to complete compliance to the noble dictates of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ, that man who fears Allah regarding his past. وَيَتَّقْهِ, and becomes conscious of Allah regarding his future, he has earned the joy of both the worlds. Walana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir and Madani rahimahumullah used to say that today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Istighfar is, oh Allah, forgive me for the wrong that I have done. Tawbah is, Allah, I pledge I will never do it again. Today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Friends and elders, it was this night of Bara'at where the Nabi of Allah enters into his room. Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha is that fortunate woman who enjoyed those close moments with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam told her that before me getting married to you also, Jibreel Amin descended and informed me that you will be my wife. On so many instances, the riwayat appears in Bukhari, Jibreel Amin used to descend in the form of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam used to congratulate Aisha and say, Ya Aisha, hada Jibreel, yaqra'u alayki salam. Aisha, come here, don't you see this is Jibreel greeting you. Wallah, once upon a time, the Aisha of this ummat was so fortunate that upon her was coming the greetings of Jibreel. Allah's qasam, the Aisha of today, upon her the curse of Allah and His Nabi is coming. Oh Aisha, this is Jibreel greeting you. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Nabi of Allah walked in. He barely took off his clothes, rested with me on the bed. And when he thought I had fallen off to sleep, he got up and quietly made his way out of the room. I was awake and I was observing. And I will not lie, my ego started passing suspicion in my heart that my night, my chance, and the Nabi of Allah perhaps is visiting one of his other wives. So I gradually started following him. She says, I was left speechless and I was left embarrassed that I thought and I perceived and suspicion crossed my heart and my mind. Wallah, I seen my Nabi in Jannatul Baqi crying for his ummah. I seen this. I felt embarrassed and ashamed. Quietly I turned and I returned. The Nabi of Allah had also completed with his dua and he was also coming back. As I entered into the room and I lay down back on my bed, breathing heavy, trying to camouflage and conceal the reality, the Nabi of Allah enters. Oh Aisha, what has happened? Why are you breathing so heavy? So she smiles and she says, Oh Nabi of Allah, there's nothing we can hide from you. Everything we intend hiding, Jibreel informs you. O Nabi of Allah, when you left this room, the evil thought crossed my heart and my mind that perhaps you are going to visit in one of your other wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Aisha, do you feel Allah and His Nabi will betray you? I answered in the negative, O Nabi of Allah. Then Nabi alayhi salam told me, No, O Aisha, Jibreel Amin came to me. And he told me to excuse myself because he would not appear in the room when you have removed your clothes. And he told me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the 15th night of Sha'ban. This is the night where Allah, the Laylatul Bara'a, the night of emancipation and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Jibreel has commanded me, and as was the practice of Nabi alayhi salam, to spend the entire night in Salah. It comes in that riwayat that the Nabi of Allah commenced Salah. He performed such a lengthy salah that Aisha radiallahu anha says, for a moment the thought crossed my heart that perhaps the Nabi of Allah had passed away. I came and I felt his leg, and when I perceived movement, I realized that he was alive. This was the length of the dua of Nabi, of the salah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I found him making this dua in abundance. اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Oh my Allah, I am unable to praise you in the manner you ought to be praised. So this was the way that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent this night of Bara. The hadith and the dua that I quoted of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam used to make dua from the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna ila Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant us barakat in the month of Sha'ban. Oh Allah, grant us barakat in the month of Rajab. And let us see this blissful month of Ramadan, this honorable month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast for the greater portion of Sha'ban in anticipation to the month of Ramadan. Friends and elders, as we very well know that on this night, as much as Allah descends and Allah forgives and Allah pardons and Allah shows mercy and kindness, yet there are certain categories of people that even on this moment of okay, on this occasion of forgiveness, because of the grave sin in which they are involved, Allah Rabbul Izzat delays the acceptance of the forgiveness of such people. And that is what I want to focus on today. One is, as we learn from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person that is guilty of disobeying his parents, such a person on this great night of Bara'at, where according to one riwayat, Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah pardons people equivalent to the hair on the goats of the tribe of Bani Kalb. On this night, there are certain people that are deprived. Let us analyze how grave their sin is, that such a momentous occasion cannot have their sins pardoned. One is that person who is disobedient to his parents. Unfortunately, this is becoming more and more common. And I address one and all, in particular our youth. Those of us that have gathered here, before we ask forgiveness to anyone else on this night, let us strengthen our bond and our relation with our parents. Let us cry to Allah, beg Allah, beseech Allah, and have our sins forgiven between us and the makhluk and between us and Allah. The riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about three people who spoke in a cradle and in a crib. And Nabi alayhi salam speaks about Sahibu Juraij, the companion of Juraij. Juraij was a person in the previous nations, a person of exceptional piety. فَاتَّخَذَ سَوْمَعَةً. He had built his place, his monastery, and he was making his ibadat there. One day while performing salah, his mother came, and his mother calls out, Ya Juraij, oh my son Juraij, come. While performing salah, in that salah he thinks to himself, اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيَّ إِجَابَةُ أُمِّي وَإِتْمَامُ صَلَاتِ. That one side my mother is calling, one side I'm in salah. I don't know what to do. He ignores the call of his mother and he gives preference to the completion of his salah. He continues his salah. فَلَمَّا أَتَتْهُ مِنَ الْغَدْ. The second day the mother comes. How fortunate that every time she comes, she finds her son in salah. May Allah also bless us with those sights. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu writes under the commentary of this ayat, where Allah speaks about the dua of the pious servants. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make our wives and our children the coolness of our eyes. What is meant by the coolness of eyes? He says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. There is nothing more soothing to the eye of a believer, more consoling to the heart of a believer, than to walk into the house and find his wife on the sajda, his one son making wudu, his other son reciting Quran. May Allah make this a reality in the homes of the ummah. To walk into a house where this is the condition. What was the hadith I'm mentioning? Speaking of the incident of Juraij, the second day the mother comes. Again she calls, the son is performing salah. Again the son has this dilemma in his mind, and he continues with his salah. The third day the mother comes, and she calls the son while in salah. Allah forgive, today's youngster is not responding because of his engagement with his wife, his business. This young boy was engaged in salah, and he delayed responding to the call of his mother. On the third day when the mother called the son, and he did not respond, she was overtaken by emotions, and she said, Allahumma inna hadha Juraijan ibni, wa inni kallamtuhu fa'aba an yukallimani. Allahumma la turiyahu hatta, Allahumma la tumithu hatta turiyahu wujuhal mumisat. Oh Allah, this is my son Juraij. Ya Allah, I called him once, he refused. Oh Allah, I called him twice, he refused. Oh Allah, my heart is hurt. I now curse him, oh Allah, and I tell you that let not the son of mine die until he doesn't see with his naked eye repeatedly the most unpleasant scene of prostitute and adulteress. The curse of a mother, the son engaged in salah. This night will not pardon that boy, that youngster, that man who disobeys his mother. When Al-Qamah radiallahu anhu could not recite the kalima, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told his mother, either pardon him or we will burn him. And the reason for that was, he was giving preference to his wife over his mother. Nabi alayhi salam then gave a talk at the grave and he said, من فضل زوجته على أمه فعليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. He who gives preference to his wife over his mother, upon him lies the curse of Allah and his angels. فتذاكر بنو إسرائيل جريجا وعبادته. People started speaking about the piety of this young boy, but really we admire him, such a pious boy. There was one woman in that locality. She said, إِن شِئْتُمْ لَأَفْتِنَنَّهُ لَكُمْ. If you want, I can trap this man and I can seduce him and I can invite him towards evil and I will trap him in evil. Amongst the other people that are deprived of Allah's forgiveness, study the riwayat. One is that person that is involved in adultery and zina. Wallah, today one brother phoned me. Says, Mawlana, I have one request. Convey this message. Whether it's relevant or not, it's definitely a crisis in the ummah. Many of our youngsters today are watching such filthy scenes, pornographic material, and then coming back home and demanding from their spouses and their wives to love and dress like those people whose aim and whose object is to sell their lives to earn money. And he says, Mawlana, he started crying and he said, Wallah, my daughter and my daughter-in-law had to take off their scarves and their hijab so that their husbands do not go into evil. That was the pressure coming from their husbands. Amongst those that will be deprived of Allah's forgiveness today are those that are involved in zina. It's becoming more and more common and rife. What are the calamities and the sicknesses and the epidemic that will come as a result of zina? لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Nabi alayhi salam says, it's such a detestable action that even iman departs from that man while he's fornicating. Brothers, in all other aspects of deen, we have been taught when a man commits a wrong, conceal it and secretly advise him. Here we are told that punish him. And وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. Tell the believers, announce the venue where this is going to happen. While people criticize what is happening in Africa about that one woman, the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مَطَرِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا فِي بِلَادِ اللَّهِ. To establish this and execute this law of Allah, the penalty of zina, is more better for the people of that city and that country and the people of that time than 40 days of beneficial rain. Nevertheless, this woman said, I will involve him in haram. And she comes forward. But this friend of Allah, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. There are some servants of Allah that Allah told shaitan when he came in this world and he pledged to mislead Allah. And Allah gave him certain talent. But at that time Allah cautioned him, there are some servants of mine, you will try your level best, you will not succeed in misleading and beguiling them. This woman came in a seductive way, but this friend of Allah did not even cast a lustful gaze, never mind stretch a lustful hand. In the end, she did not succeed. There was one shepherd that used to come to this particular monastery. This woman came and gave access to the shepherd. He committed zina with this woman, and in the process she conceived. When she gave birth to that child, she went around and she told the people, this child's father is that Juraij, that man who the world terms as pious and as a monk and as a learned person, he is the father. So people, without investigating, took this man, they demolished his monastery, they took him on the back of a donkey, this appears in authentic riwayat, and they started taking him in the different streets, and they started accusing him, مُرَاءٍ تُخَادِعُ النَّاسَ بِعَمَلِكَ, that you are deceiving the people. One side you're committing zina, and one side you're acting like a pious person, moving from street to street. فَلَمَّا خَرَجُوا نَحْوَ بَيْتِ الزَّوَانِ. As they went from street to street, they came to that particular alley in which the prostitute woman were living. While they were going through the other streets, he lowered his gaze, he was silent, he made no comment. When he came this particular street, there was certain contradicting emotions in this man. At times he sighed, at times he cried, at times he was silent. These women came out and they started taunting him, scoffing at him, laughing at him. And of course, in a form of nudity, they came out revealing their beauty. When they passed through, people asked him that, what was it that you went, when you went through, your actions or your reaction was very contradiction. He says, I recall the curse of my mother who had passed away many years ago. I was performing salah. My mother was overpowered by emotions. And she said, oh Allah, let not this child die until he does not see prostitutes repeatedly. Today I tear and I cry and I think my mother is in a grave, but wallah, that curse of my mother is still with me. Wallah, brothers, for a man that fears Allah, for him the very thought of a woman, in fact the muhaddithin write that this was the kindness of that mother, that her curse stopped at this level, that may Allah make it that he sees prostitutes. And she did not curse him that he gets involved in zina. The muhaddithin say this was the kindness of that woman. For a man or for a woman that fears Allah, when Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam had taken her first ghusl, this is for a woman that fears Allah. Allah forgive, the element of the fear of Allah is out of us. For us to see that it's normal. Allah forgive some of us if we don't see there's a problem with us. When Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam took ghusl, the first ghusl, the Quran speaks about the miraculous birth of Jesus Isa alayhi salam. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Just on this point I want to mention. After she takes her ghusl and she comes out, she hardly exits from the small cubicle where she took ghusl, and a beautiful, handsome person appears before her, who was Jibreel Amin. Now a woman in seclusion finds a stranger. قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. For Allah's sake, who are you? Please move from here. This is a sight that I cannot accept. Immediately, this was the reaction of a woman that fears Allah. So the curse of this young boy stayed with him. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, حَمَلْتُ أُمِّي عَلَىٰ عُنُقِي فَرْسَخَيْنِ. I have carried my mother on my back for فَرْسَخَيْنِ, 6 miles. فِي رَمْضَاءٍ شَدِيدَةٍ. In such heat, لَوْ أَلْقَيْتُ فِيهَا بُضْعَةً مِّن لَحْمٍ لَنَّضَجَتْ فَهَلْ أَدَّيْتُ شُكْرًا. In such heat that if I have to throw a piece of flesh on the ground, it will roast in seconds. Have I perchance done justice to the kindness of my mother? Nabi alayhi salam said, oh my sahabi, it is not equivalent to a fraction of the pain she experienced in your birth. So brothers, without going in much detail into this first point, one of the people that will be deprived of Allah's forgiveness are those people that have severed ties with their parents. Those that are disobedient to their parents. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi has written something very beautiful in Fathul Bari with regards to respect of parents. He writes that one should revere and honor and respect his father more and serve his mother more. There should be more honor and respect. In fact, under the commentary of this ayat, وَأْتُونِي بِأَهْلِكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah had revealed the secret and he had intended calling his father. Look at the wisdom in the commentary of the ayat that the commentators deduce. And now he had decided to call his parents to Egypt and be reunited with his family. So he sends his brothers and he sends them with hundreds of camels laden with goods. And he says, bring the entire family and come back. The Mufassirin say his mother was late. He only wanted his father to come, but he found it unethical and disrespect to send a message to his father saying, tell my father to come. So he used a general term, tell everybody to come, so that there isn't direct disrespect by addressing his father and saying, oh my father, come here. So let us see inshallah on this night, to start off with this point first, those of us that our parents are alive, let us go and ask their forgiveness. Let us go and take their du'as, because indeed even on this night such people are deprived. Say inshallah, brothers. The second person, as I briefly mentioned in the beginning, is that person who harbors malice in his heart, who has ill feelings in his heart. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, we were sitting with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and suddenly I seen him smiling. I said, O Nabi of Allah, what makes you smile? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَجُلَانِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ. Umar, what can I tell you? I'm visualizing a scene that is to prevail on the day of Qiyamah, when two servants will be kneeling before Allah. One will be telling Allah, يَا رَبِّي خُذْ لِي مَظْلِمَتِي مِنْ أَخِي. Oh Allah, this is my brother. He oppressed me in this world, and he died without settling my account. You promised me on the day of Qiyamah, you will pay me in full, O Allah. I want my full hisab from my brother. Allah will then intercede. Nabi alayhi salam narrating this to his sahaba. Allah will then intercede and Allah will tell this person, مَا تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. That what are you claiming from your brother? He doesn't have any credit left to him. Forgive him and overlook it. He says, no, Allah, if he cannot give me any good, فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِ. Then he must take some of my sins. Either he gives me his good, and if he cannot give me his good, he must take my sins. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while saying this, وَفَاذَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْبُكَى ثُمَّ قَالْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ أَن يُحْمَلَ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ. Nabi alayhi salam started crying. And he said, wallah, this would be true desperation. When people will become desperate, that if they cannot get good, they would become desperate, they take my evil. Brothers, as I mentioned in the beginning, to attach importance with that with which Allah and His Nabi has attached importance. You and I perhaps on these nights attach importance with asking Allah forgiveness. Wallah, study the lives of Sahaba. The most important dua in the life of every Sahabi. There's a riwayat in Hayatul Sahaba where some Ansar had problems in their famine. So they decided, we are using all our physical measures. Let's go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask the Nabi of Allah to make dua that Allah can remove our problems and our difficulties. As the Ansar were approaching, Nabi alayhi salam got up and he welcomed them and he said, Marhaban bil Ansar, la tas'aluni al-yawma shay'an illa a'taytukumuhu, wa la as'alu Allah lakum shay'an illa a'tanihi. Come, O my Ansar, wallah, whatever you ask me today, I will give it to you. And what, wallah, whatever I will ask Allah on your behalf, Allah will give it to me. When the Ansar heard this year, immediately they said among themselves, we have come to ask the Nabi of Allah to make dua for the difficulties in business. He has confirmed that any and every dua that we ask will be granted. Are we still going to be foolish to ask him to make dua for our famine? Let's forget about the famine. He has given us the assurance that it will be accepted. So let's unanimously agree. We change our object and we say, O Nabi of Allah, we have come to request you, make dua, Allah forgive us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my Sahaba, is that your only request? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar, wa li abna'i al ansar, wa li abna'i al ansar, wa li azwaj al ansar, wa li jirani al ansar. O Allah, you forgive this ansar. O Allah, you forgive their wives. O Allah, you forgive their children. O may Allah forgive their grandchildren. O may Allah forgive their partners. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, لو سلك الناس واديا وسلكت الأنصار واديا لسلكت وادي الأنصار. If the people move in one direction and the Ansar move in one direction, I will walk with the Ansar. So such was the importance they had attached with forgiveness. Wallah, not only this night, they had attached it in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha walks in the house and she requests Nabi alayhi salam make dua. Nabi alayhi salam does not ask her, Aisha, what dua must I make for you? Nabi alayhi salam knew the best dua for Aisha is the dua of forgiveness. Today someone say make dua, we say, what dua must I make for you? And if you say, I make dua, Allah forgive you, I know you make that, that's a standard dua, but what else? What else? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِي أَخِي وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. Allah quotes the dua of Musa alayhi salam for his brother. Oh Allah, forgive me and my brother. Allah quotes the dua of Nuh alayhi salam for his parents. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِي وَالِدَيَّ. Allah quotes the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for his parents. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah tells that person, what are you insisting from this man? He has nothing. He says, no, Allah, I want it. Allah will then tell him, okay, leave this man for one moment, look that side. He will cast his gaze on the left and he will say, Allah will ask him, what can you see? He says, Allah, أَرَى مَدَائِنَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَقُسُورًا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ مُكَلَّلَةً بِاللُّؤْلُؤْ لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا. O my Allah, I can see palaces of gold and silver. O my Allah, I can see rivers. O my Allah, I can see streams. Tell me, for which prophet have you decorated this, O Allah? For which Nabi have you designed this, O Allah? For which Siddiq have you made this, O Allah? Allah will answer, لِمَنْ أَعْتَى الثَّمَنْ. It is for the person who can give the price. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ ذَلِكَ. O Allah, who can pay the price of this? قَالَ أَنْتَ. Allah will answer, you can give the price of these palaces. Me, O Allah? Yes, you. O Allah, I have nothing. Allah will say, if you forgive your brother, that is yours. بِعَفْوِكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ. Wallah, I have pardoned my brother. Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah will then tell him, now hold your brother's hand and then take him and both of you enjoy. this jannat, then Nabi alayhi salam said, ittaqullaha wa aslihu dhat baynikum fa inna allaha yuslihu bayn al muslimin. Fear Allah and reconcile amongst yourself. Wallah, this is such an action that even Allah will make peace and even Allah will mediate between His bondsmen on the day of Qiyamah. Brothers, wallah, recently on the occasions of nikah, I have been speaking about this. Two things I've been speaking about. One is the aspect of reconciling, because these are the occasions where people meet. And the other aspect, just last week I was speaking at one nikah. Yeah, again comes into that same principle that I'm speaking about. To make important in our life what Allah and His Nabi has made important. The riwayat appears in Muslim Sharif. Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu is at home. He leaves behind a sick child. A child that is terminally ill. We know at home today, because we have deviated from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man is going through a bit of financial strain. There's no contact between husband and wife. He's living his own life. The wife is living her own life. There's no sharing of feelings, of emotions, no encouragement. In fact, in that busy period, there's no communication. Understand the crisis your husband and wife are going through. The riwayat appears in Muslim Sharif. Wallah, if we relate to the lives of Sahaba, we will find solutions for every problem the ummah is going through. There's a sick child in the house. The child is terminally ill. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. Abu Talha leaves and he goes out. In the process, Allah's doing, the child passes away. Look at the bravery of this woman. Look at the commitment of this woman. Understanding that Allah has attached importance in me serving my husband. She tells everybody, لا تحدثوا أبا طلحة. When my husband returns, nobody must tell him what has happened. Inshallah, I will explain the story and I will be the first one to speak. The husband returns. The woman, understanding how much importance Allah has attached, that when my husband comes home, with what spirit do I receive him? Because we have attached importance and significance to things with which Allah has not attached importance, we don't have time to make important the things that are important. She receives her husband with a smile. Allah alone knows what is going in the heart of this woman. قَرَّبَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَىٰ. She presents the platter of food. He eats the meal. It comes in a riwayat of Muslim Sharif. She then decorates herself. She decorates herself in such a way that she never decorated herself. Knowing my husband is tired, he is hungry, he is a man, he has a need. Allah has created a need within him. After he ate the meal, she beautifies herself. Who said a woman cannot beautify herself? Who said a woman cannot smile? Yes, unfortunately, she is smiling to the wrong person. That smile with her husband draws her closer to Allah. That smile with a strange man draws her away from Allah. That polite, gentle words that you and I are using in our lift club, at shop, in our surgery, wallah, if we can use that gentleness with our wife, there will be such muhabbat that just as that newly wed couple anticipates the next night, we would desire returning to our wives with the same spirit. One person comes to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, oh, Umar, I have a problem that my wife back answers me. And when he comes to the door of Umar, Umar's wife back answers him. So quietly he left the house and he went away. Sayyidina Umar heard some footsteps. He opened the door and he says, you came here. He says, yeah, it's alright, never mind. Sayyidina Umar insisted that you come. He came forward. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what is the reason? He says, no, it's better I don't tell you. Sayyidina Umar insisted, says, I have a problem, my wife, she's short-tempered and she tends to back answer me. And when I came to your door, I heard that you have a similar problem, so I didn't find it advisable for me to ask you for advice. I decided that I'll go away, make dua for you, you make dua for me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, I agree with you, but I don't make this an issue. Come, I tell you how I view this problem of my wife. When I look at the favors of my wife, primarily, sitrum bayni wa bayn al-nar, fayaskunu biha qalbi anil haram. My wife is the only veil between me and zina. Wallahi, if it wasn't for this wife of mine, perhaps there wouldn't be one woman that would cross me upon whom I would not cast a nasty and a lustful gaze. If it wasn't for this wife, I would have been making zina with everyone. That woman who is a veil between me and zina, that woman that is a veil between me and Jahannam, can I not overlook this petty wrong of hers when she is the means of protecting me from zina? That man was in tears and he didn't know what to say. Anyway, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu comes home. She prepares the meal.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.